Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Peter, if you would, please, chapter 3. Now you're in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading at verse 1, and you can follow with me in your Bible if you would. The Bible says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the waters, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love and mercy, your grace, your goodness, your kindness, your generosity. Thank you for your long suffering and patience with us. Father, we come before you this morning now and present ourselves and ask that you might, by your Holy Spirit, open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people, the heart of every person in this room, every person watching and listening to your truth. And Heavenly Father, you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. We pray, dear Father, that you might, by your Holy Spirit, use your word to challenge us and change us, to convict us and to comfort us. And Heavenly Father, that we might go out of this place having become more like the Lord Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you might do that which is well-pleasing in your sight, accomplish your will. We'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A time in human history called the last days or the end times. The Word of God also gives a careful description of what those days will be like and what the philosophical, social, educational, political, and religious characteristics of those days will be. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." This is a description of mass corruption and a breakdown of law and order. It is a revelation of false religions masquerading as legitimate. Isaiah said in chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Oh my, it sounds a little bit like some of the things I've been watching and hearing of late. Bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Up is down and down is up, and good is bad and bad is good. In our text passage, Peter is describing those same last days and describing it as a time of scoffing at the things of God. Before we look at the main body of my message this morning, I want to bring a few things to your attention. We have two contrasting worldviews. The first one, I believe, is in verse 1. It says, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." It is, number one, the worldview of those with pure minds. The word pure here is the Greek word elikraines. It means tested by sunlight. It means genuine. It means sincere. It means enlightened. Enlightened minds. Enlightened by the Word of God. And this produces a biblical worldview. The other worldview I see in verse 5 It says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. The worldview of those who are willingly ignorant. The word ignorant, lanthano, comes from a Greek word which means unlearned or to be in the dark. The word willingly means to choose, to intend, and to be purposeful. In other words, it means to choose to be unlearned. It means to choose to be in the dark about something. God calls it willing ignorance. And these are darkened minds. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so this produces a humanistic worldview. So you have one worldview that is for the pure minds, those who are enlightened by the Word of God, and those who have a biblical worldview. On the other hand, you have those who have darkened mind because they do not allow the enlightenment of God to come in, and they are willingly ignorant of the things of God and have a humanistic worldview. You understand, a biblical worldview, God is at the top. In a humanistic worldview, man is at the top. And those are the two basic worldviews that exist today. And so the Holy Spirit is writing to the genuinely enlightened and sincere, and he's writing to them about the willing ignorant or those who choose not to know. They choose not to know what? Truth. In verse 3, we find a characteristic of these willingly ignorant ones. Look at verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. In other words, I want you to keep in mind that the willingly ignorant, it does not mean that they're stupid. It does not mean that they're uneducated. It does not mean that they are even unlearned in the things of the world. No, it can be quite the opposite. The problem is stated in 2 Timothy 3:7 about them. It says, ever learning. And so they have universities, they have colleges, they have institutions of higher learning. And they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because they choose not to. Remember, they're willingly ignorant. They're like, Ma. They don't want to hear it. See? They can be very educated and very sophisticated, but verse 3 says they're walking after their own lusts. And the word lusts means desires. And so here, these people who are willingly ignorant, they're only concerned about their own preconceived ideology. And according to verse 4, they practice derision politics. Look at verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? That is, they ignore the truth and rely upon bullying, name-calling, deriding, and childish tactics of talking louder than you. They do not want to debate facts because they do not want any other conclusion than the one that they have already formed. Therefore, they are insincere people who do not want the truth to be as it is, but as they want it to be. You've heard the phrase, don't confuse me with the facts. The Bible says of such in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They congratulate themselves and they award themselves and they promote themselves while being willingly ignorant and all the while claiming to be searching for the truth. Verse 4 is a news flash. You see, fake news is old news. It's always been around, hasn't it? Specifically as stated in verses 6 and 7. In verses 6 and 7, it tells us what they're willingly ignorant of. What is it? The creation and the flood. Those are the two things right there. I don't want to hear about no creation. I don't want to hear about no flood. No, that's all fairy tales. Al Gore published a book a while back entitled An Inconvenient Truth. It's a global warning propaganda piece And by the way, he has found out that reality is really the inconvenient truth. But for those who are willingly ignorant, the real inconvenient truth is the Bible. Therefore, they are on the wrong side of the abortion issue. They're on the wrong side of the evolution issue. They're all on the wrong side of the gender issue. You see, the truth is there, but they just choose to ignore it and remain willingly ignorant. And how does this happen? This I will attempt to answer by looking at a word we find in verse 6, and that word is world. I want to share with you today four worlds. Number one, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. They are ignorant of the created world. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God is here referring to the physical creation, the physical world around us, our planet, our solar system, the stars, the sun, the universe around us. It says that God, by Jesus, created the worlds. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, why can't the willingly ignorant accept and understand the creation? Because it takes faith. It's amazing, though, that it takes faith to believe in evolution, doesn't it? Nobody was there when it supposedly began, which they don't know when it began because they can't take you back to when it began. So there's no evidence for it, actually. If you want to do a real good study, well, you study evidence for evolution. You'll find out all the evidence that they claim for evolution either has been fabricated, like many of the monkey species that are supposed to be in between man and monkey, or you'll find out the facts just don't jive with the reality around us. Look at Hebrews 1:2. Who framed the world? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 1. We're talking about the created world. Where did it come from? The Bible says in Hebrews that it was framed by the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ made the worlds. Now look at John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now listen, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And so here is the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God, and by Him, the Word, all things were made. Go over to verse 10. He was in the world. Who's he? The Him of verses 1 and 2. He was in the world. Who? The Word. And the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the worlds. Every planet, every star, every meteorite, and every speck of dust that's on a speck of dust. You see, there was a Big Bang. And it's recorded in Genesis chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. Let's look at the Big Bang theory according to the Word of God. Now, the Big Bang theory, according to scientists who weren't there, and there's no record of it, but the Big Bang tells us that all the matter of the universe was compressed into a little teeny-weeny dot. Now, who compressed it into the dot, we don't know. Where the dot came from, we have no clue. But there it was, this little dot, and it contained the entire universe in it. And one day, it just went bang! And it spewed out all over. And everything just went and just stopped where it is. And life began. But if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. You know what happened? God said, bang, and there was light. In verse 6, God said, bang, and there was atmosphere. In verse 9, God said, bang, there were seas with dry land. In verse 11, God said, and bang, there was vegetation. In verse 14, God said, and bang, there was a sun and a moon. In verse 20, God said, bang, and there was aquatic creatures and sky creatures. In verse 24, God said, and bang, there were land creatures. In verse 26, God said, and bang, there was mankind. That's the creation of the worlds, the created world. God created the world and the surrounding universe, and it belongs to Him. It is His. He created it out of nothing and with help from no one. Psalm 89:11 says, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. God Himself says to kings and conquerors, presidents and peasants, in Psalm 50, verse 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. How do we know these things? By the word of God. You see, we have an authority, and the authority is God Himself. It is an inconvenient truth, is it not, for the willingly ignorant? Evolution, abortion is acceptable, and when they say that evolution is real, abortion is acceptable, and there are more than two genders, it's fake news. Fake news concocted by darkened minds that are willingly ignorant of the truth. Ever learning, but not learning over here. Don't confuse me with the Word of God. Number two, go with me to John chapter 3. So there's the created world. God created the world. Then there is the world of mankind. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The word for world here in John 3:16 refers to a specific segment of the created world. Mankind, God's crowning creation. Of course, the term mankind is now considered an offensive and sexist term. Maybe we could call it humankind. Oh, wait, there's the word man in human, so we can't use the word human. Maybe we should call it humanity. We can't do that either because the word man is in humanity. But this also is willing ignorance because God created man. And out of man created He woman. But such is such an inconvenient truth, isn't it? To so many. God created solar systems and galaxies, but they were not like Him. God created trees and seashores and mountains, but they were not like Him. God created birds and fish and beasts and creeping things, but they were not like Him. God created angelic beings and heavenly beasts, but they were not like Him. So God created man. In His own image, male and female created He them, and they were like him. They were not God, but they were a creation above all his creation that had something that the animal kingdom does not have and the created world does not have. Of all the other creatures, God said they were living things, but of man, he said he was a living soul. And only of man is it said that God breathed into him the breath of life. He made dogs and cats. He made horses and mules. He made elephants and alligators. Boom, 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 boom. But when he came to man, he breathed into his nostrils his own spirit, the breath of life. And man became not just a living thing, he became a living soul because he has something that none of the other creation has. None of the other creation, whether in heaven or on earth, a soul, a living soul. Mankind is the only created order of which it is said that God breathed into him the breath of life and loved him and was willing to come to earth and die for them and prepare an eternal place for them. Hebrews 2:16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is the world of mankind. The world to which we who are saved have been sent with the gospel of salvation by grace through faith. These are the creatures to whom we are to preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the world of mankind, there is the created world, the earth, the moon, the stars, the sun, the universe. But then there is another world inside that world. It is the world of mankind. Human beings. Number three, go with me to 1 John chapter 2. There is a created world, there is the world of mankind, and then there's number three, the world system. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now here the word world refers to the operating system of the world of mankind. A system that ignores God and is willingly ignorant of his word. A system that operates not by faith, but by sight. As Bible-believing Christians, we are to love the world of mankind, but not the world system produced by mankind. The world system has developed independently of God and away from God. According to the Bible, the world system has a prince, John 12:31, it's Satan. It has a God, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and that also is Satan. In Luke chapter 16, verse 8, the world system has children. It has its own wisdom, 1 Corinthians. It has its own course, Ephesians 2. It has its own prophets, 1 John 4:1. It has its own spirit, Ephesians chapter 2. It has its own fashion, Romans 12. It has its own cares, Matthew 13. It has its own rules, 1 Corinthians 2. It has its own character, Galatians 1. And it has its own gods, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. The world system has been developed to live without God, and it's designed to bring prosperity and peace and power without God. How's that working for us? Not working too good, is it? The world system is temporary. And according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, it will pass away. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 13, 40, that there's an end of the world coming. And Peter wrote about this world and its system. And it's waiting for judgment. Look at 2 Peter, if you can go back there. Go back to 2 Peter. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. Immediately following, explaining to us the willing ignorance of the Word of God, we find in verse 10, it says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, for which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Did you pay attention to what I just said? You know what God said? He said, one of these days, this earth is going to go poof. It's going to disintegrate. The elements shall melt. How do elements melt? It doesn't say that this will melt, or the metal will melt, or the plastic will melt. No, the plastic and the metal are made of elements. We're talking about the molecules themselves, the building blocks of material things. It says they will melt with a fervent heat. There's the end of the world coming. Verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." There are the created world, and the world of mankind, and the world system. And then lastly, there's number 4, John chapter 18. There is the spiritual world. Look at John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus said, there's a whole other kingdom you don't know anything about. That's my kingdom. Not of this world. This is the world that mankind and his system has chosen to ignore and be willingly ignorant of. However, this willing ignorance has a sinister depth and a specific target. You know, I find it interesting and at the same time alarming that the world is so caught up in the things of the supernatural and spiritual while ignoring or paying only a shallow lip service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who rules that kingdom. Police departments are employing psychics and mediums to help with their cases. So obviously they recognize there's a spiritual element, but they're willingly ignorant of the truth of the spiritual world. There is a preoccupation in movies and on television with psychics, the supernatural, ghosts, and the paranormal. Yet the vast majority, if not all, are willingly ignorant of the one true source of spiritual wisdom, and that is the Bible. They read tea leaves and crystal balls and tarot cards and horoscopes, but they don't read the Bible. They claim to talk with the dead and converse with spirits, but they don't talk with God. But that's part of the willing ignorance, part of the lie, part of the blindness, and the derision of the inconvenient truth of the Word of God. Is it not telling that public school systems will have classes to study Islam, but not Christianity? Does that bother you? Bothers me. I mean, if you're not going to teach Christianity, fine, but then don't pick other religions that you are going to teach. Is it not chilling that the public school children must learn and quote Islamic prayers while it's illegal to pray Christian prayers? Is it not hypocritical to read the Quran in public schools while banning the Bible? Is it not enlightening that all the world's religions, except Christianity, because it's not a religion of the world, are works-oriented? That man must do and achieve and accomplish or buy his way to heaven? Christianity, true Bible-believing Christianity, I say Bible-believing Christianity, is the only faith or religion on the earth that has salvation as a gift. Purchased by Christ on Calvary's cross on our behalf and offered freely. And while the world religions are working themselves to the bone trying to earn their way to heaven, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. They have idols and statues and icons and relics and pomp and circumstance, but they don't have eternal life. They'll teach you about saints and traditions, vain and repetitious prayers and rituals, but not how to know for sure you're going to heaven. Why? Because they're willingly ignorant. Of what? The Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You know what he said? He said, I've come from another world. Come from heaven. And you must believe that I am he. Who's he? I am he of whom the prophets foretold. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the Son of God and God the Son. Amen. I created this whole world. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He said, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Jesus is king of the fourth world, a spiritual kingdom called heaven, to which he invites you by his grace to enter. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God formed a created world on which the world of mankind could live in fellowship with him. But the world of mankind turned away from God and created their own world system to operate independently from God and without God, which world is only temporary because of sin and will one day pass away. But God has provided a way through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who visited the created world and became part of the world of mankind and died and shed his sinless blood for our sin. And rose again, and now invites all who will believe to become part of the fourth world, his kingdom, by faith. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, we have to be born of God into his spiritual family and into his kingdom, just like we were born into this physical world. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The Bible says God is a spirit. If you want to be part of God's family, you have to be born of the Spirit. Just like to be part of the human family, you became born of the flesh. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He came to our world so that we could go to his world. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. When leaving this world, Jesus made a promise to those who believe in him. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You remember the tone of the last days in 2 Peter 3:4? The scoffer said, where is the promise of his coming? It's right here. This is the promise of his coming. Believe it. Because with the world, fake news is old news. The first fake news was in the Garden of Eden, when Satan said to mankind, newsflash, you, yes, you can be God. And we've had fake news ever since. This morning, hear the good news. God's word, the gospel of Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please, let me ask those of you who know you're saved and you know you've been born again, I want to ask you a couple questions. Peter penned my first question to you. He said this, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Are you living like this world is your permanent home? Have you lost sight of which world you are of? Have you been captured by the seen and laboring for the gold that perishes? Do you allow the world and its system to rob you of the power of God's new life in Christ? Do you allow the world and its system to steer you away from a closer walk with God? Remember, you're in the world, dear Christian, but you're not of the world. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Dear Christian, maybe this morning you need to come and make a decision. Maybe this morning you need to come and rededicate your life to living for the Lord. Maybe there's some things you've been willingly ignorant of that you really don't want to hear and you really don't want to know. But you'll have regrets someday if you don't. And then perhaps you're here this morning, you've never been saved, never been born again. Do not allow this world to rob you of the next world. Do not remain ignorant, and please do not go away without Christ, because then you will not only be ignorant, but you'll be willingly ignorant. Do not believe the fake news of religion or philosophy, but receive a relationship with God the Father through Christ his Son, the Savior of the world. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My dear friend, would you be saved today? Would you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and be your Savior right where you sit, right here, right now, in the privacy of your own heart and mind? You say, preacher, I need to be saved. I want to be born again by God's Spirit. I'll help you if you'll let me. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior right there in your seat, I want you to look up at me. No one else is looking up, just you. And you're saying, by looking up, preacher, I want to trust Christ as my Savior this morning. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. And I'm willing to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I'm not going to ask you to move or do anything. I just want to pray with you. If you want to receive Christ as your Savior, look up. Is that what you would like to do? Yes? All right. I want you to pray. Bow your head and pray something. Pray like this to God. Just pray and ask God. Just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know it and you know it. And Lord, I can't save myself or forgive my own sins. But I believe Jesus came and died for me, shed his blood to pay for my sins, and rose again. And right now, dear Lord, I'm asking you to be my Savior. I'm trusting only in you for the gift of eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love and mercy. Father, we thank you that the gospel's simple, so that even the simple can get saved. And we thank you that it's free, so even the poor can get saved. We thank you that it's not of works, so those who can do no works can also be saved. It's by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, my Father, today as we go from this place, that we might realize that we are in this world, but not of this world. And that, Father, we might live for the glory of God and share the good news of salvation by grace through faith with those around us who are lost. I ask your blessing on the invitation, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is number 115. 115. Please take your hymn books. And dear Christian, maybe you'd like to come and just spend a moment with the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for taking me in. Thank you for receiving me as your child when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and just get with the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, that you came. And you came for me. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and say, Lord, you've done everything for me. What can I do for you? Maybe you need to come and rededicate your Christian life. It hasn't been what it should be, and you know it, and God knows it. Why don't you come this morning and just say, Lord, here am I. I want to do better. I want to live for Jesus. Help me by your Holy Spirit. Now, if you'd like to trust Christ or have questions about going to heaven, I'd like to meet you right here. We'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know it for sure. You can go out the door on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. It's up to you. You come and see me, would you, as we sing on the first.